Thank you. It's going to be hard to follow you guys. You were really incredible. Let me just start by saying that that Dialogue for Health is our online public health broadcasting station, and that's kind of how I think about it. So if you can get inside my head behind that, I want to talk a little bit about what Dialogue for Health, why Dialogue for Health first, and then what it is, and then talk a little bit about our impact. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And one thing I should say is that that's the whole staff of Dialogue for Health, and I'm sort of a volunteer. Star and Charlotta do all the work, although Charlotta is supposed to be the person up here making this presentation, and she's in Bolivia, having left us to go work in the rainforest as a result of her global reach work. And I now have another person who's very, very part-time. So all of this work is really done primarily by one person and folks that get involved in the web forums themselves. What I was trying to do when I was first thinking about Dialogue for Health is how to define who we wanted to reach. And it wasn't just the public health community, although first it was the public health community. As we've moved this thinking along, I've really been trying to think about how do we get much larger communities to really get engaged. Because really, when you think about it, everybody cares about health. And we as public health people think that we have, you know, a special line on what the elements are, what the ingredients are for really helping to produce health, but a lot of other people do as well. And so my thinking was, how do we get folks from those other sectors engaged with us in active, productive discussions about how to move health forward as a cultural movement in this country? The reason I started thinking about it in the first place was in the late 1990s, I was getting involved in the Public Health Association and APHA's and sort of more organizational issues, and got engaged in the executive board and started going to governing council meetings and, you know, really looking around the room and going to the various executive board meetings that I went to. I learned some very sort of upsetting things. One was that the average age of a public health worker was about 55. And that was a little bit distressing. The second was that public health work was really becoming increasingly siloed and isolated from the rest of the world. And that was a little bit disturbing. And the third thing was that public health was the fastest growing undergraduate major in the country. And that was even more disturbing because if that was really true, what was happening to people as they graduated? Where were they going and why weren't they coming into public health and doing that work? And so I started thinking about how do you bring those two audiences together, and how might we facilitate more dialogue between the two? So we started thinking a little bit about how could we use the internet to increase the reach of public health, extend public health language and concepts and ideas to a larger audience, as well as increase our penetration in audiences that were youth of color. Because they were really being left behind in many of the discussions that we have in the rarefied public health policy. And also, how to get seniors involved in this discussion and involved in thinking about, because actually, really, they have a lot more voting power than the rest of the folks, and they're a very important audience to get engaged in understanding the kind of work that we're trying to do and the sorts of missions that we're trying to push forward. So given those facts, how could we drive a public health agenda via the internet and increase its breadth, its depth, and its reach in the public health conversation? So there's our mission statement. We try to tackle provocative subjects and do this in a way that is interactive and is discussion-based. And let me just ask, has anybody in this room ever listened to Dialogue for Health web forum? Raise your hand. Wow. I usually get more than one hand. Dialogue for Health is a very cost-effective way to go, and I say this because, you know, as you see, I only have one paid staff person at this time, and we still produce quite a volume of work and reach a rather large national, international audience, and I'll show you those numbers in just a minute. And just so that you know, we do a lot of of what we call brand name dialogue for health web forums. Those are ideas that come to us by being out there in the field, listening to what people are talking about, and trying to pull that content together into a web forum. I'll show you the numbers for the kind of work that we've done so far. But we also do work for other groups on a cost basis. What does a cost basis mean? That means it costs about $3,000 to $3,500 to produce, package, put together a web forum, deliver it, and get it out to a pretty large audience, as well as get a lot of feedback and a lot of data. And I'll show you what kinds of numbers we see on that. We have a small carbon footprint. We are able to reach people in the times and in the spaces that they have available to them. All the conversations, all of the web forums are archived, including all of the materials that we produce to support the conversations and all of people's feedback and questions. We have reached people in all of these areas with a very strong showing on both coasts, and we're not really filling in the dots on the U.S. because it's way too complicated, but we can show you the countries that we've been reaching. Who is really listening to us? So 42% is government, and as we've pulled back on that, we've figured out that the reason so many government workers come to the site and listen to the web forums and participate is because they need and want more education, they need and want more experience and more exposure to new ideas. And the ideas are not the traditional public health ideas, they are intersectoral conversations. So we're bringing in people from planning, we're bringing in people from policy, we're bringing in people, allow people who public health workers who are in the field to connect with the ideas and to participate and ask questions directly of the speakers. We also have business, education, media, healthcare, and community engaged. And the advocacy and nonprofit world has been growing. These numbers really differentiate according to what the topic area is. We do a policy series, and that's where the nonprofit and advocacy world is really present. We do training series that are more that are much more attended by government folk. We're starting a series on the Affordable Care Act and what that means in public health, and we're growing our health care audience in that way. We have a small, in terms of the actual number of registrants for web forums, that we have a small penetration into Asia and Africa, obviously a large one in the West, but we are reaching the South and the Midwest in large numbers, and that for us is very, very important because we know that those are some of the folks that just don't get a chance to, you know, drive down to the big city and get some, you know, some of the conference opportunities that some of us who live in more urban areas do. In terms of the growth of events and meetings, we have done 596 as of July, and those are the numbers by year, increasing very nicely. That last column there is just by July of this year. There is growing interest in terms of how many people register and how many people attend. We tend to see about 55-60% of those who register actually attend online live. That's pretty steady, although there have been a few where they've been as high as 90. And it's interesting because those are the ones that have been held at the last minute in order to advocate usually about some big legislative piece that's happening, something around the Farm Bill or something around keeping prevention in the Affordable Care Act or things like that. So the real activists are the ones that attend at very high levels. This is a registration slide. So let me explain what subscriber registration is. If you go to the Dialogue for Health webpage, on the very first page it says, give us your email address if you want to subscribe. And if you do that, you will get a personal email from me every time we have an offering. And that offering, it will lead you straight to a web page where you can see who the speakers are and download the materials and register if you wish. Numbers are going up. These are the actual subscribers. Now, of that, that's for 98 web forums as of July. We've actually produced another 6 since July. Total number of events that we have produced has been 667. So that other 550 are all the pieces that we do for other organizations that come to us and want us to produce content for them and to reach a large audience. Some of those are open to folks and some of those are not. They might be just intended for a certain mailing list. Total attendees, 41,000 plus. Total registrants, 62,000. So what's in a web forum? Well, we have speakers that are experts in their field. We really work for diverse speakers. So I like to have the public health piece in there every single time, but there might not be a public health person in a particular web forum if we have a topic that is much more directed by community planners, for example. And if we're trying to bring a concept to a public health audience that it may not be as familiar with. Some of our health impact assessment work, for example, has really been led by planners and not necessarily by people who are considered public health experts in the classic sense. This particular web forum was a web forum on climate change. It was very well attended and got very, very high ratings. And by the way, pretty much all of our web forums have received better than 90% agreement for quality and for content. We survey everybody at the end of every web forum in order to see what our audience thinks. We engage participants in a number of ways. One is that we float questions. So from time to time, we'll put a question out and we'll ask people to give us their impressions or their answers of that. We also do polls throughout every web forum. We partially do that so that we can get a sense of who's really listening, who's paying attention, who's participating. And we partially do that because we want others in the audience to see what, you know, what the other folks are thinking. And we get some surprising results on our polls. The poll rankings are available within about 2 minutes of actually issuing the poll. In terms of we can do things like live pictures, live streaming, but that tends to exclude government and educational institution folks, because they don't usually have the kind of bandwidth within their institutions to accept it, which is interesting that government and education can't access as easily, but hopefully that will change. We support trainings, orientations, meetings, and seminars. I gave this picture of the UN meeting because actually several of our web forums lately have reached the over 1,000 participant level. And when that happens, that's a big deal. 1,000 is a really nice number, and that's more than what we're looking at in that picture. So if you imagine yourself in front of that group of people, we try not to tell our speakers that the audience is that big because it can be really intimidating. But we do tell them afterwards how many folks came on, and usually by then they go, phew, thank God you didn't tell me before. We do work hard to share new findings, resources, and information, to gather audience opinions and to promulgate those findings and to inform policymakers of what people who are experts in the field are thinking. What's the cycle of production? Well, you get an idea and you get the buy-in. We've got the software conferencing system and developed that, and that took us about a year and a half to really get it to where it is now. Preparation and production of a web forum is a lot of steps, but those are steps on our end and not steps that people who are participating with us have to really know very much detail about. We always evaluate and measure the impact of every web forum. So what are some of the impacts? Well, interestingly, this slide is put together from a web forum that we did on why obesity is important to the Latino community. That web forum was really highly attended. It was done simultaneously, webcast in Spanish and in English. It worked extremely well. And we wanted to know, about a month and a half later, we asked, so what did this change in your life? And these are some of the answers that we got. So from one person, developing an obesity awareness campaign and using material from the web forum. From another, a health educator who was very surprised at how high the obesity rate was and encouraging her grandchildren in terms of being a better role model. And then finally, the last one, the wellness coordinator from their organization is now using the web forum materials to support their wellness work. What action do you take as following the prevention of, about the protecting the prevention funding? So this was a web forum on protecting prevention, the prevention fund in the Affordable Care Act, and we were asking what action you're going to take afterwards. So interestingly, identifying local people who can speak about value of prevention was a really important action that people understood that they needed to take. Because you need stories in order to sell issues to policymakers. Stories really matter. Pitching a story to local reporters was high. Speaking to legislators about the value of prevention in the community was also quite high. And so we were, it's good to see that that happens as a result of getting people language, concept, and process for moving forward. What's important, what needs to happen right now? Those are the kinds of things we try to really focus on in the advocacy series. Moving policy and program impact. Another web form that we had done, and this is one from the impact, the importance of obesity in the Latino community. This is by language. The blue bar is in Spanish. This is where the Spanish speakers and the white bar were the English speakers. Do you agree that the government ought to prohibit advertising of unhealthy food and beverages to young children? A very high support of that concept, and the Spanish-speaking audience thinking even more strongly that this is important. And that was really interesting for us to know. Moving policy and program, again, advocating for policies that create healthier social and environmental conditions. We have people agreeing that they want to organize neighbors to take action. And these are the kinds of things. What are people willing to do? What is the person listening to a web form like this, what are they going to do next? So, why are we doing this? Okay, well, you know, this is really skating to where the puck is going to be. It's about getting ahead of the curve, about using something that's right in front of us, that's pretty inexpensive, that has a low carbon footprint, that can reach people across the country and around the world. And I'm really glad to see that we have, in the 5 years that we've been live and running, reached as many folks and been able to get out there. So there's a quote from the sort of old guard. If any of you are hockey fans, this is a great one quote. And skating to where the puck is going to be. And then the Nahanda Lindsay, who this is a younger person's quote. So I loved what she had to say about the web forms that we've been doing with their organization. And that's all that I have to say for now. Thank you so much.